All right, good morning. Nice to see you. Nice crowd here this morning early. Nice to have you join us today here at First Church. If you are visiting, a very first time guest or visitor, welcome to you. My name is Pastor John. And well, I've been so excited to share with you again today. Last week we started a new teaching series based on this idea of how God wins. It's a series over different passages in the book of Revelation, and how exciting this is to share. If you remember last week, we looked at verses 1-8 of Revelation 1, which was the prologue. It's called the prologue of the book, and how John says over and over and over again how it's all about Jesus, and how Jesus should be the focus of our life, and certainly of our ministry together. Today, I would like to pick up there in verse number 9 of that passage, and we'll look at this in just a few minutes. But before we get there, I want to share with you a thought that I've had. You know, I think one of the best things that we can do in life is to pay attention to the things that God wants to use and God can use to teach us spiritual truths in life. So let me give you, for instance, here this morning. Have you ever watched The Voice? Huh? Have you ever watched The Voice? Now, I must say I've not been a huge fan of this show, but as I look around, I'll bet you've watched The Voice, haven't you? Yeah, that's your age group right there, your demographic, and some of you, I've watched Arlene miss The Voice every week for years. But here, just in case you're not really familiar with this show, it really caught on very quickly because the show was all about the voice. It wasn't about what people looked like. It wasn't about, you know, how they presented the song. Matter of fact, me and my team were trying to figure out what would be best for me to sing when I go on the show next spring. What's so funny about that? I could go on The Voice, right? Because they're not, yes, you could. Thank you very much there, young lady. But because they're not looking at you. They're listening to your voice. And if you remember, the whole premise of the show was that these judges, these four judges, and there's been different ones over the years. Do you know that this is the 33rd season for The Voice? It's been on over 20 years now, believe it or not. Isn't that amazing? That's what I read. And you know, if you read it on the internet, it's probably true. But if you remember, the thing that made The Voice different was that they just listened. You know, it was after American Idol, but American Idol, these people came in and they stood in front of the judges, and the judges looked at them and perceived them and criticized them and gave them ideas. But they not only listened to their voice, but they looked at them, and a lot of times it had to do with what they looked like. But then they came up with this idea where they had the chairs that would turn around, and how the judges would have their backs to the contestants, and they would just simply listen. You know, and a lot of times when I would see the show, I would be so intrigued. Why aren't they turning around? This person is incredible. But they were listening for certain things. And if you ever watch the show very much, you they would share some of the things that they were looking for. It was interesting because when I came to this passage today in Revelation chapter 1, it was amazing because I just felt like that, wow, this was like the very first episode of the Voice. Here, let's see if you get this too. Look at Revelation chapter 1 in verse 9. He says, "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Christ, in Jesus." What a sentence. "I was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. And behind me, I heard a loud voice that was like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches of Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. Can I get an amen for the pronunciation of those words? And look at what he says. He says, then I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Folks, I submit to you, that was the first episode of The Voice. And here we have John, who I think is very interesting, that with all humility, the apostle begins and says, I, John, your brother, your companion in the suffering and the kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. Because you see, those were all of the attributes that got the apostle John to this day, to this moment of exile. To this moment when everyone else was gone, everyone else had been martyred, everyone else had left this earth. And in many ways, it was he and he alone that was still standing. And how did he describe himself? John at this point was known as an elder of the church, as a leader of the kingdom. Of this one that endured so much and was still faithful. And he said, I'm your brother. I'm your brother in all of these things. John said in another place in his gospel, he said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Quoting his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he ends that passage in John 16 by saying, but take heart, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I wonder if even now, at this time in Jesus' life, that it was those kinds of words from the lips of Jesus that had got him through. I want to give you peace. Peace not like the world has, but peace that no one else could even understand. I have overcome the world, and I am in you. And at this moment in John's life, those words had to encourage him and embolden him and give him strength. And then I think what he's describing here is that he heard a voice behind him that was like a loud trumpet. I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into this passage, but I can't help but think at that moment, John had to wonder, I know that voice. I've heard that voice before. And it had to bring up in him a kind of faith and understanding that oh my goodness, gave him so much strength for the moment. You know, John was exiled. He was a prisoner. He was treated as such as well. He had seen so many people become martyrs, and he had even been a martyr himself, but not yet unto death. He said over in one of his epistles, the life appeared, we have seen it, and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when John heard that voice, he said it was like a trumpet. It's funny because I was just at a meeting last week that there was entertainment by a trumpet. Chiz Ryder, you know Chiz? Chiz actually did a great job at a banquet we were at last week. And you know what? There's not much like a trumpet inside a building. You know, just the power of it, the majesty of it. Chiz, even at one point, I didn't know what he was doing, but he took his mouthpiece off of his trumpet and he laid it down, and his son handed him a trumpet that had one mouthpiece, but there was two trumpets. And he put that thing on, and he was playing different notes and things on the two different trumpets, and he was just blowing that thing. And I wanted to stand up when he was finished and said, "That is awesome!" And I think that's kind of the kind of experience that John had here. It's interesting that if you notice that it says that while he was in the Spirit, that when John was in the Spirit, he heard this loud voice like a trumpet behind him. And he said, he turned around and the voice was speaking to him. And the voice told him to write these things down. I want to talk to you here this morning about this voice and the vision of this voice. Because in the next several weeks, as we go on into this book, we're going to see over and over and over again that the revelation that was given to John and that he was told to write down and to share with the churches was given by a voice. The very voice of God. And in this voice, in this vision, John is changed, and it's kind of amazing what we see John experiencing here. Because here's the thing, what was true for John then is true for us today. Matter of fact, take that, write that down, cement that phrase on your heart. What was true for John is true for us here today. But you think about it, in the show, The Voice, the judge's attention has to be captured by the voice. And so today also, our lives need to be captured by the voice of Jesus. You know what? I've heard that it's said that if you want to please God, and if you want to obey Jesus Christ, really all you have to do is pay attention to the red words. Right? Now, I know, you know, today it's not as prevalent as it was when I was a kid, but I remember the very first Bible I got that was a red letter edition of the Bible, where the words of Jesus are in red letters. And I heard one time somebody say, listen, if you want to obey God, just read and obey the red letters. Now, they didn't say that, saying that the rest of the Bible doesn't matter. But they were saying that if you really want to live a life of faithfulness, that you can do it with these red words. Have you ever noticed how many red words there are in the first parts of the book of Revelation? A lot. And you see, what was true for John then, his attention was captured by the voice. He became obedient to the voice. The revelation was given to him by the voice. The same is true for us today. This incredible encounter with Jesus, with the most breathtaking revelations. I mean, the things that John saw, he had a hard time putting them into words. It was an encounter that was not only life-changing for him, but for all of us. But the thing about it was, he was willing to listen to the voice. So let me make a couple of, I think, interesting points about this voice and this vision that came from Jesus. John makes it apparent here that because of this voice, we will never be the same again. We will never be the same again. Let me show you here a passage in, starting in verse number 12. Look at this. He says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of God, son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was the sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Now here's the thing about this passage. I love this because it's so easy to get so enamored by all of this description and the symbolism of it, the meaning of it. You know, I remember one lady coming to me one time, and she said, how in the world did they know anything about snow? Why does snow? You see, we can get off track there. Or we can think about what this kind of vision must have done to John. That when he heard the voice, he recognized the voice, he turned and looked at the voice, and the voice said something to him, you know, write these things down. And then he started in this incredible description about what he saw. And it shows us and it tells us that when we encounter this vision, we will never be the same. Someone once said, much smarter than probably any of us, said, while some men see no farther than past history, John saw Jesus, eternal, risen, and glorious. You see, for some reason, our minds and our ability to grasp even things of God are hindered by our history. But what we see, by what we know, and what we expect the future to be like. But here John saw something that was so glorious that he would never be the same again. He said the hair on his head was like white wool, as white as snow. You know, talking about, I think, referring to Jesus as an ageless one. We can speak of his purity, of his wisdom. His eyes were like blazing fire. John recognized that they were penetrating. They were searching. Even some ways in full of judgment. No doubt John would tell in the most literal sense that he looked right through me. His feet were strong. They were like bronze glowing in a furnace. As he says in another place, that he would judge the living and the dead. It's funny, he described Jesus' face as like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. So in everything else, he describes Jesus as this powerful, menacing in some way figure. But when he looked at his face, it was shining. You know, that's the kind of way that I would describe the most loved people in my life. Their face is shining. They're beautiful. And it's wonderful to be around them. But then he says, the voice continued, verse 16, coming out of his mouth, a sharp double-edged sword. Not something that you want to encounter as a criminal, as an unbeliever. As Hebrews says, that it's alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It appears to the very joints and marrow of my being. You see, a wise communication lesson for us says that I value you and you matter to me. But we must learn that respect invites a listening ear. And that's the way Jesus, that's the way he comes to us. So listen, John, he hears the voice and the vision, and he will never be the same. But there's another thing here. When we hear the voice and see the vision, we'll never be the same again. John continues in verse 12. He says, "And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands reflecting the glory of God, the presence of God." And what he saw there was beautiful. It was wonderful. Verse 13, "And walking among the lampstands was Jesus, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, golden sash around his chest." He was priestly in how John saw him. But here's the thing: the voice of the vision was clear. He was going to be expecting and expecting from the church something, but he was also inspecting the church and who they were and how they were living for him. You see, Jesus remains constant, walking in our midst. And when we are changed by Jesus, we'll never be the same. But we also must understand that we can never be the same again. Because a life in Jesus Christ is always a life that is progressing, that is growing, that is mature, that is moving, that is changing into the presence of His Son. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and we become forgiven, we're changed. But we don't stay at that moment of change. We continue to change. So we're never going to be the same, but we're never going to be the same again. Because day after day and moment after moment, and we will see as we go through these passages that John was never going back. Which leads me to the final thing here. Because when we hear this voice, and when we're touched by the voice, we will never be the same. We will never be the same again that moment. But as life goes on, God wants to change us moment by moment, sin by sin, trouble by trouble, to where eventually we will get to the point that we are the most like Jesus than we've ever been. You know, have you ever been around a kid that reminds you so much of their parents? You know, I told you a few minutes ago that Chiz Ryder did some entertainment for us at this banquet the other night. Arlene was there, and I'll bet she will totally agree with me in this. If she doesn't agree with me, I'll tell her at lunch how she was wrong and she changed. But you can get this. Chiz was there, but Chiz had his son, his 20-year-old son. And at one point, he said, "You know what? There's nothing grander in ministry than having a child that follows in your footsteps. And here's my son, and I want you to, you know, listen to him. He's going to come, and he's going to play the trumpet for you." And it was amazing because as he moved around the stage, I thought, well, if you took the head off and put the older man on that body, it was his dad. Everything about his mannerisms, everything about his movement, everything about his introduction to the song, even the way he played the trumpet, the way he held it, the way he pushed the buttons, everything. Now, there was a distinct difference because the son was good, but he wasn't like his dad and what was coming out of the trumpet. But everything surrounded the trumpet, it was like dead-on imitation of his father. You see, John here becomes confronted with this idea of how much like Jesus are we? And how much have we been changed by this encounter with this voice? The Bible's full of instances. Abraham in Genesis says Abraham fell face down before him. The Bible says Moses trembled with fear. Ezekiel, I fell face down before God. Daniel declared, I had no strength and I was helpless before him. Peter was overcome with the glory. James and John fell face down to the ground, terrified, over and over and over again. When people have experienced this voice, their life has never been the same again. So folks, my encouragement to you as we come to this beautiful revelation is that we understand that this revelation was given by the voice, by the great I Am, by the one who said that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, by the one that said I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the one who said I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. But what happens is that we must be intrigued by that voice and turn to that voice and hear that voice and listen to that voice and be changed eternally by that voice. Hebrews in chapter 12 talks about how we can speak of better things. How we can speak of better things. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant and of the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. We sing a song about that, don't we? Beautiful. What is that better word? I submit to you that the better word is what Jesus spoke here, the revelation that we will win. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And right now, more than anything else in the world, you and I are so desperately in need to hear that voice, that loud voice, that voice like a trumpet, that voice that speaks like no other, that He can speak to our soul as He did to John. Speaks from the heavens, timeless and all knowing and understanding that's where the true change comes from. You know, let me end kind of where I started this morning. Now I want to go back to this idea about the TV show The Voice. To me, one of the saddest times in this show is when they don't turn their chairs. Now, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a softy, but it's like any time they have a contestant and they sing their heart out and that the judges don't turn around. And there's been times, now I don't watch this show regularly at all, but there's been times that I've seen it and I've thought, man, why didn't they turn around? Guy's good. He'd be a great teammate of whoever. Why didn't they turn around? And then I remember the sadness that they, you know, because the moderator, he always comes out and he says to the person, you know, I'm really sorry. And, you know, and they may give them a few pointers of why they didn't turn around or whatever. But I always have the same exact feeling. I just feel so bad for the person who didn't get a chair to turn around. Now, folks, I want you to think about Jesus Christ, the voice, the vision, the revelation. We win. And He is singing His heart out to me and you, knocking on the door of our heart, pleading with us to understand His heart and His love for us. And all too often, we just sit there. And Jesus walks from the stage of your life and mine, just wishing for a moment that we had turned our chair and given Him a chance. Now, the point is that there's going to come a day when Jesus is going to walk around on the other side of everybody's chair and stare them in the eyes. And he will judge the living and the dead. And the only thing that's going to matter is if we had turned our chair to hear and accept and believe his voice. Let's pray. Dear Father, I declare to every person in this room today that we need to hear your voice. We need to hear the love in your voice. We need to hear the conviction in your voice. We need to hear the truth in your voice. That God, we need to understand the revelation that comes through your voice. And that Father, when we turn our hearts and minds towards you, and that when we give you our undivided attention, that Father, you can reveal to us things that will change us, that we will never be the same. We will never be the same again. And that, Lord, will never be the same again and again and again. But Lord, after we hear your voice and turn our chair to you, that Father, from that moment on, you teach us that we're gonna be a part of the winning team. But Lord, there will come a day when you will judge the living and the dead. And the only thing that will matter is whether or not we've turned our chair to you. As John did that day. And Lord, look what it did and what it got for him. A revelation. And a purpose for living. That Lord, it got for him an understanding of all of the struggles and the suffering that he'd gone through. And that placed him on a pedestal as a brother of all of us in our sufferings. Because Lord, he knew how important it was to hear your voice. So Father, right now, as we sing this song together, I pray that we'll all hear your voice, that we'll all turn our chairs, and that, Lord, we'll declare that you are on our team and we're on your team, and that, Father, we're marching toward that day when we will ultimately win with you. May it be so, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.